You are beautiful. I'm not speaking to the person next to you. I'm speaking to you. You are beautiful. There is no one in the world like you. There will never, ever be a person like you in the world. You are unique. You are beautiful. And that's what the session's called today, Making Beautiful. So first of all, I'd like to ask everybody to stand up. Everybody to stand up. And I want you to get one of your unique fingerprints like this. And I want you to touch one finger, other person, like this. And then with your other hand, touch another person's fingertip. Okay? Come on. We want the whole tent connected by unique, beautiful humans. Come on, is there anybody? Wave your hand in the air if you haven't got a fingertip. Well, can you just move to someone and join in with another behind you here? Behind you, just touch that, those two, so we can all be together. Hello? Okay, thank you. Stay standing just for a minute, because what we're going to be doing is moving around and talking and doing stuff like that. You are unique, and we want to work you, so it's not me going to be doing the talking. So I won't be doing the talking. What I'll be doing is doing little inputs and then getting you to talk in groups. That's the main thing. So that's what we're going to do. And the next thing is, we fall in our life with the comfortable. So without knowing it, we do the comfortable all the time, which means we don't grow, we don't develop, because growth does not reside in a place called comfortable. So we're going to do a little bit of interaction. Just turn around and just say hello to someone near you and just say, you are beautiful, okay? Okay, love it. Now, can you see the screens, folks? This is a retention slide. See at the top of the worst kind of retention communication is when people talk, give a lecture, right? And that is only 5% of retention. Down below where we're going to be doing is 75%. Can you see on the screen? 75% is when we do things, when we're active and we do. So that's the whole principle of today. We're going to be doing things together. And look at this for a quote. I love it. Tell me I forget. Teach me I remember. Involve me and I learn. So that is the concept, the action of today. And can I say, we've only got an hour together. If you came in here for a talk, someone would talk for 40 minutes and then there'd be questions. So that's long enough. But because we're interacting, it's not long. So what I'm going to do is ask you to, when I ask you, give you a gap to talk, it'll be like short sort of stuff. So the first thing I want you to do is, if you can hear me, clap three times. See, by doing that, we've just become more of a community because we've just connected together. If you can hear me, clap three times. That's wonderful. When I say that, if you're in a group talking and you hear me say that, that means shh, quiet, and we want to move on sort of thing. The first thing I want you to do is turn around and get in a group of about 10 people. So just turn around roughly a circle of 10 people. Hello? Have you got about 10 people? I want you to take one fingerprint and I want you to put it in the center of the circle and touch everybody's fingertip with your little group. This is so photogenic. It is so beautiful to see people touching fingertips, a little collection of people touching each other, their uniqueness touching. I just love it, I love it, I love it. Okay, turn around now and in your group get into threes with people you don't know. So I don't want you with anybody you know, I want you with total strangers. So in threes. Come on. If it's magic, why can't this be everlasting? Okay, hello. Put your hand up if you're with somebody who you know. Because I'm going to kick you out the tent. No, I'm not. I want you to, you can sit down now, okay? Hello. I love you. Saying hello. I'm going to put a picture on the screen. And this picture is, I want you to talk in your threes, right? And I'm only going to give you 3 minutes. So how many minutes each would that be? One. What I want you to do is to look at the screen. And I'm talking about you being beautiful. That's the whole thing today, is about you being beautiful, me being beautiful. And what I want you to do is to pick one of these figures which best describes you and your beautifulness, okay? So here it is. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 blobs. And if you can't see, just walk up to the screen and have a look. But decide which one of those is you, okay? Talk. 3 minutes. 1 minute each. If anybody comes in late, just ask them to join your group, because we don't want anybody to feel rejected. Just invite anybody in. If you can hear me, clap 3 times. Okay, me, I'm the middle one at the bottom. I feel I'm broken, I'm damaged, and yet I've got my thumbs up. Even though I'm broken and I'm damaged and I've been hurt through life, that one describes me, because I've got cracks all the way through. But that's beautiful. We've all got cracks. That's how the light gets in. Fantastic stuff. So that's what the session's about today, beautifulness. And at the end of the session, what I want you to be able to do is to say, I am beautiful. I am beautiful. Okay? The next slide is, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. I'm not about what you do when you see in the mirror. And what I'm talking about is you, the core of you. That's what I'm talking about, is you are beautiful. And we're going to journey through that. And this next thing, I keep pointing this at the screen. I'm going to give a little introduction about myself. It's going to last for the rest of the hour, like about myself. No, I'm joking, of course. So this is me. The pictures you can see, that's young me and battered me. There's one there with a big black eye. And then there's this one. And that's definitely not me. Other thing. So you are beautiful. What I want to do is take you through what I mean by beauty. I hope you can see the screen. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Not what the scales say. Not what the mirror says, not for the shape of your body, but for the volume of your soul. You are a precious human person, a precious human being. And this workshop is not just about being a human being. It's about a human becoming. So it's about growing and journeying together. And that's what I would love you to do today, is to do that. And this is what I've been saying since the late 1970s. You are a beautiful human person. Because I was working with gangs in East London, and I was battered, bruised, full of faith, wanting to love young people. Because I became a Christian when I was 21, and I decided to love, not hate, because love does a better job. And yet I was there working with gangs, with a big team of 40 youth workers working with in a tough situation. And I hit the bottom, hit the buffers. And when you hit the buffers, you have to look at all your life, what you're doing, how you do it. And what happened is I decided that God loved these kids and Jesus had died for them. And I need to love them, no matter what the behavior. Because we all know we can see a person's behavior, but we can't see the journey. So it's only when we get close to someone do we find out beyond the behavior, deeper is a beautiful human. Sometimes the most violent people are the ones who are the most frightened and scared of who they are. So I had to learn that, and I began to say in the late 70s, you are a beautiful person. You're a beautiful human person. Turn to your little group and just reflect for a minute. Just talk about this whole thing I'm talking about you being beautiful. Just talk, talk, talk. Talk, talk, talk. If you can hear me, clap three times. Okay, I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1, 0. And when I get to zero, I want you to point to someone in your little group who said something good. Okay, you ready? 3, 2, 1, 0. Now, did everybody point at a different person? Okay, I want one person then in each group who had the finger pointed. One person in each group, stand up. One person. Who, come on. Who had the finger pointed? Come on, finger pointed. Okay. One person in each group. Hello. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to ask what you said when we're just reflecting, because when we have an experience, I'm trying to give an experience here, and then when we reflect on the experience, we learn. So what I'd like to say is just ask a little bit of feedback. What did you talk about?
We talked about how hard it was to accept that we are beautiful. So when people pay a compliment, we go, oh, no, I'm not. You know, and we should learn to just say thank you and smile and accept that compliment.
You're beautiful. Here's another.
That when you're on the receiving end of someone's behaviour that isn't nice or acceptable, to understand the journey that they've been on.
It's like loving like you've never been hurt, which is a bit difficult, isn't it? This is my friend called Big John. He's my hero. What did you say, fella?
I think I said something like, you've told me I'm beautiful that many times, I'm starting to believe it.
I love it. Beautiful human here.
We talked about remembering that like everyone's God's creatures, and that it's easy to kind of pick out faults in other people when they do you wrong or something like that, or to call them beautiful rather than yourself.
Wonderful, wonderful. But isn't it so easy to get distracted by behaviour? You know, the next door neighbour, someone at school, someone at work, someone. And what we do is, the number of people I'm with, and what happens is somebody goes out the room and everybody starts talking about them. You know, they start criticising, and it's usually behaviour. If you don't belong in a group, gang, just sit down with somebody, because we want this to be lovely and interactive. Here's a top man.
We said that it's hard to accept that yourself is beautiful because people keep on telling you, and it's quite hard to like accept it without seeing like arrogant. Yeah. So it's just getting over that hurdle. Okay.
Good stuff. So people keep putting us down, and what happens is we don't accept that we're beautiful because of that.
I was just saying about like at work, when I get frustrated and I start criticising people and what they haven't done and what they should be doing, and it's not always direct to their face, but that I sometimes should remember more about the good things they actually do.
Thank you. Okay, you sit down now, folks, because I don't want to spend any more time on that. I'd love to know what everybody said, but the beauty of doing this, what we're doing, is everybody is listening to at least two other people on the talking thing. Moving on, I want to tell you about my journey, my understanding journey. Now, I'm only where I'm at now. I've not arrived. I'm on a journey. I'm becoming. I've got a lot to learn. But what I've learned along the way, I just want to share with you. And it's about the emotional self. And one of the beautiful things, the emotional you is situated just behind your forehead in the brain. Hard drive, I call it. And the same place where our emotions lie is the same place where our spiritual life lies. And they both light up together. So they're very, very much connected on the thing. So my understanding is about beautiful. I try to understand that whole thing about being beautiful. And it's not like the model. It's not like the cut and paste, the glossy magazine where everybody's dressed up. It's something deeper than that. About the, I keep pointing my thing at the screen, it doesn't work, because I'm used to working with the screen, you see. Vulnerability. Vulnerability is a strength, not a weakness. Vulnerability is an ability. And what we often do is we share the good things about us, and what we don't do, we don't share the vulnerable bits about us. Now, me, I've got loads of them. One of them is I can't spell, and that's been all my life. And a second one is I don't know my alphabet. I can't remember my alphabet. And they're just two little things, but surprising how they trip you up emotionally along the way. My journey of understanding about behaviour is that we see all the time behaviour, and we respond to behaviour rather than seeing beyond behaviour and see the person. So we can't help but see the behaviour, but in the development of ourselves, if we could see through to the person, it is absolutely fantastic, because then we can start to love the person. And behaviour, gang life, because I've worked with gangs all my life, and I still do, and I try to understand the extreme behaviours on the thing. And then lastly, deprivation. The word deprivation means loss, right? And this is part of my little journey I want to explain. In 1979, I did a study of on the gangs I was working with. So I studied them and read and studied all the sort of things. So what I did, I studied deprivation. And when I was doing it, I was in a community which had the highest crime rate in the country, the worst housing, tower block, East London, tower blocks. 80% of the people living there wanted to get out. There was lots of deprivations, which the government called environmental, educational, social, amenities, lighting in the streets, just trees. The trees were just, if there was any, they were just smashed and brought down, sort of thing, because kids had nothing else to play with. What doesn't come under the government deprivation factors is the spiritual and the emotional. And in my studies, I was working on that whole thing about emotional deprivation. So my study ended up talking more about emotional deprivation. And that is the poverty which imprisons the spirit. So it's something internal which can strike us on the thing. Nowadays, it is called emotional intelligence. So I do a lot of training courses on emotional intelligence so that we know what's going on inside us. When we feel feelings, we don't respond to our feelings, but we receive the signals. Feelings are only signals, but we need to read them and then decide how to act, not just react. It's so easy to react to someone's behavior or language, but if we can skill ourselves so that we don't react, we act, meaning we decide how to act. And what I want you to do, I want to tell you about this guy here. This is Feldman on the right. This is a gang called the Mini Snipers, which I used to work with. And there was an older gang in the 20s who were the Snipers. So they were modelling their life and behaviour on the older gang. And of course, the older gang, there was a mature gang in the 40s and that, so who were criminal gangs. One night in the youth club, Feldman, I walked up to him. He'd just been in the gym, playing football in the sports hall. And I went up to him and I said, "Feldman, do you love your mother?" Sometimes I don't bother with saying, "How are you?" things like that. They tend to be rather boring. But one of my best questions, which I get a fantastic reaction from, I go up to somebody and say, "What's your favourite scar?" And it's fantastic how people take the clothes off and show you. Honestly, it's fantastic. And if you ever, so sometimes I go straight up to someone and say, I did it here at the festival. I didn't plan to tell you this, but 2 years ago, I was having a curry on the Thursday night. Lots of the volunteers have a curry in Cheltenham here. And there was a gang of people around, a big tail, about 20 people. And this young woman come up who was American. I could tell she was talking not English. She was talking American. And I said to her, "Tell me what your favourite scar is." And then she walked round the table to me. The table went totally quiet. And she held her wrist out. And on her wrist was a cross, scarred cross. And she started telling the story that how she was at the end of a tether, she was like suicidal. She had no purpose, no direction. And then she woke up one morning and found that cross on her. And there she was. She'd come from America with a group who were doing a festival like this in America. And she started telling the story. And the table were totally stunned. And I've lost contact with her. She never did give me her email, so I've got no contact with her. But I know a friend who does know her, and he's got contact with her sort of thing. Feldman said to me, when I said, "Do you love your mother?" He said, "Nah, I don't love my mother." I said, "Do you love your sister, Tracy?" "Nah, I don't love my sister, Tracy." He said, "If I had to worry about paying me £500 fine next week, if I had to worry about being up in court in 3 weeks' time, I would crack up. So I don't care about anybody. What I do is I just survive." So I told him about my studies. I said to him, the principle I've been talking about is when people are under pressure, emotionally, relationally, surviving, they pull down shutters around them to protect their emotions. So you can imagine me pulling down the big metal inner city shutters purely to protect hurt and further damage. And he said to me, Feldman, that I put him in my study, because Feldman said, "That's exactly what I'm like. That's exactly what I do." Now, I'm looking at your faces here, and there's some people, most people, your face is really serious, and maybe what you're doing is applying that to yourself. And that's good, I think. Do you pull down the shutters, and therefore... But I want to go on about this. I want to go a bit more about this. What I do, I call it toothache. Toothache. What do we think about when we have toothache? Louder, what do we think about when we have toothache? Toothache, isn't it? When we have toothache, we think nothing about toothache. So a lot of people, they're living a life living with toothache. And that is the life. And then we have people in government say, these young people nowadays, they haven't got the grit to get up and go. They don't understand someone living in the inner city or in lots of places having a tough time. They're in a place called survival. And they're just coping with just life, just surviving. So I learned this from Feldman. So Feldman was in that position where he was purely surviving. And of course, Maslow talks about this. Maslow's hierarchy of need. The baseline of development is survival. So you can see here, we've got survival at the bottom, security, belonging. Unless we can move from survival to security, we can't develop, we can't grow. And that's the theory by Maslow. And I believe in it. I think it's a fantastic model. So what happens is Feldman and others, we numb ourselves to cope. So the whole thing is numbing our emotions to cope. So what I want to do is tell you a bit more about the numbing thing. Because recently, in fact, about a month ago, I went to listen to an academic talking in London. And she did a TED talk on the internet about 2 years ago, which is, I think it's got about 10 million hits. And she talked about numbing. And this is her. No, that's not her. This is her. Her name's Brené Brown. And she was an academic, she still is an academic researcher, and she researched loads of people about their well-being and their shame and their hurt and their vulnerability. And what I want to do is show you a little clip, a video clip of her talking about numbing, right? And as soon as it's finished, I want you to talk in your little group about what she's talking about. Are you ready? So here we are with the sound. Okay, in your group, just talk about that, about numbing, about her thing about if we numb everything, meaning we numb our life, every emotion, the joy, the pleasure, the thing. Just talk in your group. If you can hear me, clap three times. Can And I say thank you very much. Looking around and seeing people connecting with each other is absolutely fantastic. Faces expressing what you were talking about. I obviously don't know the detail, but you were communicating beautifully. Did you know that 7%, in communication, only 7% of communication is words? 55% is in the face. So if you're looking at someone who's behaving all sorts of difficult sort of stuff, they can tell from your face whether you see them as beautiful or whether you see them as ugly. One of the beautiful things is every human eye, when it sees something beautiful, it dilates. The black gets bigger so it can drink in more of the beauty. The light shines on the eyes, and the eyes like glitter. So if we are looking at somebody who maybe is ugly behavior-wise, but feels ugly, and you are communicating, what do they see in your face, in your mannerisms? Do they see that you're frightened? Do they see that you're not interested, that you want to back away? Or can they see beauty, beautiful stuff? That's the whole thing about the beautiful thing. I'd like you to do the 3-2-1 thing again. 3-2-1-0. And then point to someone in your group, okay? I'm going to get a bit of feedback. You ready? 3-2-1-0. Okay. Can that one person in each group then stand up, please? Hello? Oh, come on, speak to me. Hello? I love it. Now, no one stood up here, and I'm a bit worried about you. Your group just touch fingerprints? Just in your little group, just touch fingerprints. And if there's anybody not in the group, just reach out your fingerprint and ask them to join your group. Because I don't want people to feel out of it if they want to join. That's the thing. Okay, I'm going to come around and ask a few people now. Thank you. You can let go. What were you talking about? Express something in the group which happened, which people were talking about. About this numbing thing and stuff.
Right. Yeah, we were talking about how because it tends to be a habit when you want to numb yourself. Of course, what I'd never thought about and what we'd never thought about is that by doing that, you remove your ability to experience joy, hope, faith, you know, all the things that will bring you out of it and wonder why you're not getting any better. And then it does become a downward cycle. I'd never thought that by protecting myself, I'm actually kind of knocking myself back. And I think we all said that we realized kind of a similar thing.
I think that is fantastic. Thank you for that. Really, that is fantastic. And we do this all the time. You remember when I asked you to clasp your hands and we did it comfortably? That we learn by feeling uncomfortable and then deciding how to behave. If we feel uncomfortable, that's a fantastic place to be. But often we back away from. Growth does not reside in a place called comfortable, but we want to be there. We don't want to move to a different place. Please, sir.
Just explaining that I'm having to deal with loss of a workmate who committed suicide within the last couple of months. And it hurts because I think we cared.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And if you can see this guy's face, he's not only talking about it, he's communicating the pain he feels. And yet one of the things when we deal with grief, when we show grief, we're honouring the person who we've lost. If we don't share the grief, if we don't feel the pain, there's something wrong, isn't there? Please.
We were talking about the shutting down thing actually being something that you actually need to do to navigate through life, and it being a kind of a positive thing. And the reason they all pointed at me was because I pointed out, yeah, but if you're using emotional intelligence to shut down certain things to navigate through life, but what if you're not emotionally intelligent? So some people can't like sort one thing from another. shut down on the negative stuff and it just carries right across everything. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
We need emotional intelligence to be able to use that as a positive thing.
Yeah, that is wonderful. The thing is, emotional intelligence can be learned. I learn a lot about my emotions when I'm driving, because all the time there's something happening. Somebody's overtaking, coming too close, cuts me up. I'm wondering which turn to go. And I'm clocking the feelings, because they're happening every second like that. We can learn feelings. Feelings are signals, but we don't have to do what they say. Like, I feel like smashing you. I might feel like smashing you, but we don't have to do it. What we can do is decide to love, decide to see beauty, not just see the aggression. Sorry, I'm not going to smash you.
We talked about a lot of things, but I think maybe the main theme about what we were saying is I guess you have to constantly take a risk all the time. You've got to be taking risks if you do want to experience the full spectrum of life, the good and the bad and the real and the true. You've got to constantly put yourself out there, and it isn't safe, and sometimes it hurts, but then you've got it, you know, it's a constant choice to make.
I love that. We take risk for our own development. If we don't take risk, we don't develop. So that I think that's the risk thing is a fantastic thing. Beautiful, beautiful human.
I was saying about how, you know, the phrase darkness is just the absence of light, that good things only exist because bad things exist, and that you need the opposite of something to make that thing real and true. So you need both things for one of them to be desirable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we need the both thing. And the whole thing about if we only show what we want to show to another person, if we only tell them our good things and what we feel good about, what we're doing, we're hiding our vulnerability. And what has happening, that person only communicates to the person they see. So what happens is the real person who's craving for love, because I believe every human craves love, is not being communicated to, because they're only communicating to our mask, our shell. Sort of thing. Rachel's my vicar. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. All right, Pip.
Yeah, go on.
It was picked up over there, actually. We're talking about boundaries, and our boundaries that we need, as you're saying, to negotiate, is that partly a selective numbing? And I think it's just been answered with the emotional intelligence thing. But if we are having to use boundaries, say, professionally or in that kind of a way, do we find ourselves actually, is that a sort of numbing? And therefore, is that spilling out into other parts of our lives? So that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, it's a good comment, isn't it, really? I think if we understand what's going on inside us, our feelings, we can make decisions. And sometimes it's appropriate we don't share something. But if we're frightened of our own feelings, our behaviour is bizarre. We behave in a way which is not good for us. I'm going to just do two more humans, please. And can I say, I love what you're saying, because obviously this is the reflective thing. Please, sir.
Hi. Part beautifully developed over there about the numbing and all. So we then went on and thought about, so how do we react when we feel we're going numb? How do we look at someone and say, I can see past the behavior and still say you're beautiful, and then I benefit from that?
Yeah.
But that's tough.
Thank you. I mean, you've just summed up really what I've been trying to do in this session. You know, it starts with us. If we don't see our own beauty, we cannot see other people's beauty, because we're blinded by all this sort of stuff. One more beautiful human here, please.
We talked about vulnerability, and that we usually think of vulnerability as a weakness, but really it's a strength. And even to say, I am beautiful, I think you are beautiful, is opening yourself up to be vulnerable. And that can be a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay, everybody stand up, please. Some people are not in threes, and I would want people to move from one group to another or form another group. So you're in a different group with a different three. If you could get with three people, please. If you're not with three people, you're with four or two, shove your hand up and then walk to someone who's got the hand up, please. If you're not in a three... Fantastic, fantastic feedback. Thank you for doing that. How many people are sat with someone they've never spoke to before? Put your hand up. Look at that. That's fantastic, that. Greenbelt is wonderful. I went in the beer tent last night, and the vibe, it was fantastic. People were communicating, talking, and it was just fantastic, the vibe of people communicating. And I love it, I love it. I want to tell you about something, because I believe everybody has got abilities and disabilities. I believe often we see disabilities of people like mental health or people who use wheelchairs or, you know, have damaged physically. We've all got abilities and we've all got disabilities. I want to tell you what two I've picked out of my collection. One of them is, I think, one of my abilities, I believe I'm warm in communication. When I'm talking to people, I want to be warm, and I think I am. My disability is, I was going to pick something different, but last week I had medical advice that, I had medical advice that if I don't stop what I'm doing, I'm going to damage my heart. Because basically I do gigs where I go around the world or around the country doing groups like this. And that's fine, but what happens when I'm not doing them, I work every day. So I go in my office every day. If I'm not going out, I work every day. And I've not been having any time off, and that's doing the damage. And what happens is, after I've been away, I did one of a big psychology conference for a week recently. All psychologists and psychotherapists and counsellors and art therapists, fantastic humans working on the front line. And about 3 days after, I hit the buffers and I felt empty, tired, worn out. And the advice given to me is, what's happening is my body, because I've got gout symptoms, so I get gout sometimes and it damages me. So basically, what I've always said, I don't know what sort of Pip Wilson will be when I can't do gigs, when I can't do training, when I can't do... What sort of person am I going to be? Last week, I decided that the person I am going to be, I need to decide. So when I go back after Greenbelt, I'm going to have 2 days off. I'm going to not look at my inbox for... I've got to make lots of other decisions, but they are big decisions for me because it kills me not doing the things I love. Now, this is what I want you to do. We've all got abilities and disabilities. I would like you in your little threesome to go around and each person say what one of your abilities is, right? And then when you've gone round, go around again and each person say, pick a disability, right? Now, you can take an easy one because we've got loads of them, haven't we? But what I'm saying is, this is the risk. You talked about risk. Risk. Take a risk, because in this little group, it's confidential. Nobody's going to tell the world about it. So take a risk about something which maybe hurts, maybe deep, and maybe you've never told anybody before. I don't know. But take a risk. You choose what you want to talk about, but I'm throwing out the challenge for you to take a risk. Okay, in your threesome. Positive first and then a disability. If you can hear me, clap three times. I hate to stop you talking, because what you've just been talking about, and I believe you'll have done it, I hope you felt this space was safe enough to be able to take a risk for your own development and share something. And it seems to me the reason I did that is I've done that with kids who've got terrible lives, young people, gang members, people who've been in prison from children's homes, all sorts of things. And if you can get people to the point where they can share, it's like a liberation. It means like a flower opening up to the sun. Like a bud of a flower is beautiful, but there's nothing more beautiful than seeing a bud of a flower open up. And that's what I believe. You could say it's what God wants us to do. It's what life is about with us on the thing. So I would love to have feedback, but we can't. We haven't got time. We've only got a few minutes left. So I want to show you the last slide. And this is like summing it all up, really. First of all, John O'Donoghue, who was a speaker here, and he died a few years ago, fantastic, articulate, flowing man. He says, it all depends on the lens we use, so make your gaze beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Eh? It all depends on the lens we use, so make your gaze beautiful. The title of this session is about making beautiful. That means when you leave this tent, you can make beautiful with your life, with your face, with your words, with your with love with this. And it seems to me that's what it's all about. And this is the last slide here. So I'm basically saying go beautiful because you're beautiful, but I'm saying go and beautiful. And what I'm saying is these sort of things have been fed back already. Accept that you are beautiful. If you don't feel it, accept that you are beautiful, that you are precious, that you are a mystery, that you are wonderful, wonderfully unique. Then accept that you are beautiful in perfection. That means we'll always be in perfection. Always beautiful, always in perfection. And that is absolutely fantastic. If we can accept that we're on the journey and imperfect. The next one is beautiful vulnerability. I believe we can't be beautiful unless we share our vulnerability. And there's one sure way of connecting with people. If we're not good communication, good relationship, if we share our vulnerability, it breaks down barriers. And then often, in my experience, people then share their own vulnerability. But we have got to start doing that. Moving on to the blue sector. As we go, let us see beautiful. Meaning when we look at people, see the beauty. And that takes some practice because we could see behaviour, but we can't see the journey. And that's why getting close to people and getting intimate in terms of a relationship is so fantastic, because then we discover people's journeys. The next one is, if I can point at the laptop instead of that, is live beautiful. So we can actually live the life which is beautiful. And that's what Greenbelt's about. That's what a lot of you will believe you want to do. It's like a wholeness journey of starting with accepting ourselves. And last but not least is make beautiful. So that whole process is accepting ourselves, then accepting others despite behavior. Obviously, we need to work on behavior. We do, and other people do. But then we then start to make beautiful. So I'd like to thank you. This is the end. I'd like to thank you for everything. I think you've been fantastic in terms of working together. So thank you very much. Thank you.